Winder's office on Bank Street was crowded and frenetic. The busy general could carry on a conversation with three people at the same time while calmly signing papers. But Van Loo found Winder easy to manipulate. He had no qualms about his detectives harassing the city's lower class, but he was respectful toward Richmond's elite, of which Van Loo was a part. "His personal vanity is so great," Van Loo wrote. She turned on the charm, going overboard to convince the old man that she was loyal to the cause and only wanted to be a good Christian with her help for the enemy. Van Loo actually thought Winder was a kind-hearted man, though violent in his prejudices, she observed. She later had the general and his wife over for dinner to continue buttering him up. Winder allowed Van Loo and her mother to deliver not only medicine to the prisoners, but also food, clothing, bedding, writing material, and books from her library. To win over the brutal Lieutenant Todd at Ligon Prison, Van Loo plied him with ginger cakes and buttermilk. Another conquest was Erasmus Ross, the sadistic clerk at Libby Prison. Ross, who turned out to have an uncle who was a closet unionist, secretly agreed to help Van Loo. When Union Lieutenant Colonel William Lounsbury was summoned to Ross's office for what he thought would be a torture session, the clerk surprised him with a Confederate uniform he told the federal officer to wear for his escape to Van Loo's house, where he was hidden until he could make it safely to Union lines. It was a ruse Ross pulled off with more prisoners. Van Loo visited other facilities. At Howard's factory next to Ligon, which was also converted to a prison, she befriended inmates like Massachusetts Infantry Major Paul J. Revere, grandson of the Revolutionary War patriot, with food and books. Revere's relatives never forgot the help. Winder had given her permission to deliver supplies to the prisoners, but she could not enter the jails or talk to the inmates. Van Loo found a way to work around the restriction. She talked surgeons into sending POWs to hospitals where she could visit and feed them, and slip them money and messages hidden in a secret chamber in her custard dish. She was even allowed to bring to her home one prisoner stricken with typhoid fever to nurse him. Inmates she could not see in the jails soon found ways to secretly send her information on Confederate troop levels and movements, returning books she lent with words in them underlined or pinpricked for a makeshift code when strung together. Prisoners also sent her as mementos, buttons from the bones they carved.